Let's go around the NFL. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig here on In the Loop. You as well. You can always text the show 713-572-4610. Let's go around the NFL. Hey, it's never too early to start looking ahead. Do the Texans already get some good news for one of their early opponents? They play the Buccaneers week 2 home opener, and the Bucs announced that their all-pro left tackle Tristan Wirfs is going to start the season on the IR. He underwent surgery on his right knee yesterday and will miss the start of the season. So for those Texans pass rushers, you start to, you know, lick your lips a little bit if you look ahead for that Game 2 matchup here with the home crowd nonetheless, which could help impact that Buccaneers offensive line. But as we look ahead to the 2025 season, a little bit of a break or some good news for the Texans when looking at their early opponents.
Hey, man, I think it's a big break. Remind me who the Texans rush ends are again. Do we remember their names? Will Anderson. Yeah.
Some guys you might have heard of before.
Some guy named Daniil.
Yeah. No, I think that's very big. I mean, I know that's a home game, the home opener. You're feeling pretty good.
Monday night? Is that Monday night?
That is the Monday night game.
Yeah.
That is the Monday night game. So, that's to me, that's big news. For July 9th, it's huge news.
Yeah, they better show up and show out that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun environment. Going to make it tough on that offensive line, and now they're missing their best. We assume they're going to be missing their best offensive lineman in that matchup against the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Get after Baker Mayfield. Get after that quarterback. Hey, Bleacher Report's Gary Davenport, speaking of the Texans, he called Christian Kirk the most overpaid player in the league for his position. Obviously, Kirk just came over to the Texans this offseason, and part of the problem has been the injuries in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But what were your thoughts on Davenport's harsh criticism or harsh phrasing on Kirk?
I actually don't think it's a bad description of what he does, of what he is with this squad, given the injuries. But as he put in there, you know, the problem is, you know, he's just got 1,166 yards the past two seasons combined, and he's missed 14 games over those two seasons. So I think it's as simple as just stay healthy. To me, Christian Kirk is one of the – I don't even know if it's even low-key. Most people know this. But really one of the most important players on the team when it comes to health. Because as much as you've got, you know, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel and you have high hopes, they're still rookies. You know, they're still guys that are going to have their ups and downs, et cetera. And, you know, you got Nico out there. Stay healthy, 15, 16, maybe 17 games, Christian Kirk. And then I don't think he'll be considered the most overpaid, but I don't think it's unfair at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think looking back at the contract from the Jaguars or looking at the past, you can certainly make that case. Because he was, when he signed that contract originally with the Jaguars, he was one of the higher paid. He was like the, I think top.
Second.
Yeah, at the time, I think so. Right.
He was the second most.
And then I know like even 2 years ago, he got paid like the 14th most of any wide receiver. So certainly when you look at the amount of money the Jaguars paid him and the amount of production they got, you could make a case that he certainly was one of, if not the most overpaid wide receivers of the last couple years. Moving forward into this year, it does come down to health, and we'll see. And if he's healthy, and he, I think, could be very productive with C.J. Stroud, then it's a trade that certainly is worth it for the Texans and money well spent. But I agree with your point, and that's one of the things I've been saying all offseason that concerns me with this offense specifically, but that wide receiver room is there's just a wide variance. If everything works out well, this could be a really good wide receiving group with Christian Kirk as your number two if he's healthy all year, if Nico stays healthy, and then you get these rookies that hit the ground running.
Yeah.
On the flip side, if the rookies are a little slow to develop, I mean, they weren't first-round picks, and if Kirk does have more injuries like the last couple of years, then you're looking around, and it's like, man, this is a mash unit. We don't have a whole lot of depth, kind of like the parts of last season, and that's where I get concerned with this offense. So, yeah, I think Kirk is huge for this offense just to stay healthy. But to the point of Gary Davenport, I think if you're looking the last couple of years, absolutely you can make the case he's one of the
highest. Now, his first year, he was outstanding.
Yeah, he was.
He was worth every penny. Somewhat of a surprise because, as you noted, like when he signed that contract with Tampa, with Jacksonville, initially we were like, wow, that's a lot for Christian Kirk.
Yep.
And then he backed it up. Then he backed it up with a really good season. Then the injuries hit. And kind of what you're talking about, we know what Nico's going to be. We know Nico's going to be a superstar. I think I saw some odds today. third best odds to lead the league in touchdowns.
Oh, wow.
So we know what he's going to be. Jaden Higgins, rookie second rounder. High hopes, but he's a rookie second rounder. You know, obviously Tank Dell's out. John Metchie, what's your confidence level in that? Xavier Hutchinson, what's your confidence level in that? You brought in Braxton Berrios. Okay, special teams guy, who knows? Justin Watson, who knows? And then Jalen Knoll, a third-round rookie. So Christian Kirk is, like, crucial to the wide receiver room.
Yeah, yeah, he sure is. So he's got to stay healthy. It's been a problem the last couple of years. And keep your fingers crossed. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins said he felt misled by the Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. So they came out with the trailer. I don't know if it's actually been released. It was the second season of the quarterback series on Netflix. But they came out with some of the clips. It includes Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, and honestly, I forget the third quarterback. But Kirk is on it again. Oh, I think maybe it's Jared Goff. Anyways, Kirk Cousins. Okay, yeah. Kirk Cousins is on it again, and one of the clips he was talking about that and saying, I would have stayed in Minnesota if I knew the Falcons were going to do this, because Minnesota was the same situation where they were going to draft a young quarterback. That's why Kirk wanted out. He goes to Atlanta. They do the same thing. It's like, why did I leave? I would have just kept my family in Minnesota. We were happy there to be a backup to a young quarterback like I'm doing in Atlanta right now.
Or help him along and be a starter to start the year as he was in Atlanta. He says he felt deceived. Because he was misled is what is the word he used. He was misled.
We all was misled.
Everybody was misled. You know, at some point, do you think he's going to be a quarterback in Atlanta all year long?
No. Oh, who? Kirk Cousins? Yeah, no.
I didn't think he was around this time. Yeah. I'm shocked they're actually keeping him around.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see it happening. It's a recipe for disaster. Because Penix, if he struggles, and I know they have high hopes for him and he played okay, then all of a sudden it's going to go the other way. And Kirk Cousins, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
It's just a mess.
Yeah, it is. I think if I remember correctly, there was some sort of salary cap implications of even if it was like a trade to keep him, you know, beyond that June 1st deadline. But now that we're into the summer, we'll see how long this lingers on. And now Kirk Cousins is actually kind of talking. He's a guy that doesn't ruffle feathers, but he's been kind of public with this.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you don't want your backup quarterback to be a distraction or causing any problems. And Kirk Cousins has never done that, but you know, maybe it becomes a problem in Atlanta. This is one of the reasons, though, why I always say I don't get why the NFL does free agency before the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the Falcons are like, well, we don't really know how the draft's going to play out. We need a quarterback, so let's get Kirk Cousins. They do. Then you get to the draft, and it's like, oh, Michael Penix is available. Yeah. We like him. Let's draft him. Similar to what happened with the Seahawks when they signed Matt Flynn, and then you draft Russell Wilson, and then he shows out. That's a little different because he wasn't a first-round pick. But still, you know, if you have the draft first, the Falcons, Kirk, he wouldn't be in this situation. They would have just taken Penix, and we don't need you, Kirk. I wish the NFL put the draft before free agency.
I could see the point on both sides of that because you want to be able to establish some sort of roster going into the draft as well. But I keep going back to draft night. Remember when they drafted Penix and the GM is talking to the owner, Blank? He's going, listen.
Arthur Blank. Yeah, hands on his hips.
He's like, listen.
All up in his grill, man.
I'm playing chess here now. I'm playing chess here. And Arthur Blank was looking at him like, what the hell did you do? Like, you drafted Michael Penix, number 8?
Yeah, no, that was wild. I did not see that. I thought he was going to be in the back of the first round, maybe second or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? That might go down as a wild first round, man.
And then, you know, on top of that, even if you say, okay, I get it, you're still on the hook for $180 million.
I understand, you know, getting the court. Like, I mean, it's your opinion if you feel like they reached for him or not.
Yeah.
But you just signed a quarterback for $100
million,
man.
$180
million. And you take him in the first round?
Yeah.
I know. By the way, speaking of this quarterback show, are you guys in? I did not watch the first season. I think I watched part of the first episode, and I was like, whatever. Are you guys into it? Will you check out the quarterback season 2 on Netflix?
I probably will handle it the way I did last year, in and out, bits and pieces. If I see something kind of trending, I'm like, I want to see that, you know, that kind of thing.
I did see something that was kind of trending a little bit, Joe Burrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where he was just going off on the offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I was to the point, I'm like, dang.
What are we doing?
Yeah, he was. I'm like, man, I could, like, I wonder, I hope CJ don't ever get to that point where you could tell Joe Burrow want to win.
Yeah.
But he was just ripping them apart, man.
That's interesting you say that, because I heard on the drive yesterday they were actually pointing to that clip of saying we want CJ to be more like this. like Joe Burrow.
So he just doesn't want the line to be that bad.
Yeah. Well, no, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think if the line is that bad, he should express how he feel about
it and
kind of rile people up a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But I just hope it don't get to that point.
Yeah, where he has to.
Where just those mental mistakes like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been my concern with the Texans. You know, I don't want to follow that same path of the Bengals here in recent years. Speaking of Joe Burrow, I thought you were going to reference, Figgy, that as part of this series, it includes that home robbery of Joe Burrow that occurred last year, which was kind of an awkward situation because there was a woman there who called the cops who was not his longtime girlfriend, and it was a whole thing. I guess that's going to be, at least part of it is going to be included into this series. If so, I'll check that out because, as I said yesterday, I love to rubberneck drama.
Yeah.
But Joe Burrow, on a clip I saw, he said in the video, like, I'm probably going to have to move now because people are going to know where I live. Like, they documented the robbery, the house and everything. And to my knowledge, I don't think he has moved. So my question being, if you're Joe Burrow, after this documentary comes out, are you moving houses so that nobody can try to figure out where you live?
I think I would.
Yeah, I wouldn't take any chance. Now, was it a good house? Like, was it like a really big old house that
I don't even think it matters.
Yeah.
There's some crazies out there, man.
Yeah, no, I would be very upset, especially if I put a lot of money into this house.
I don't know how upset I would be because I get it. You know, that's public record. It was a burglary, et cetera. It's going to be out there. My thing is people are nuts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you either got to beef up that security.
Yeah.
Or try to move somewhere else. But if that's my house and I put all this money into this house, I ain't about to keep jumping ship to ship because somebody find out where I stay.
Was it J.J. Watt that paid for a gated entry in his neighborhood here when he his first house here? You know, people kind of found out where he was. And they were stopping by for autographs and stuff. So rather than move, he paid for a gated entry in the neighborhood.
Oh, I thought that was for the whole neighborhood?
Yeah.
I think
it was JJ that did that.
That's cool.
I thought that, like, a little guardhouse and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was...
I'm surprised River Oaks ain't got that.
Yeah.
Because River Oaks, I feel like, is wide open.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's the crazy thing about Houston, that I was with somebody, we went down the road, and he's just like, oh, that's where so-and-so lives?
Yeah.
That's where so-and-so... I was like, oh my gosh, like, I could just walk up to their front door.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, in all these other cities I've been in, like, it's more exclusive. You don't know where they live, and if you do, it's a little harder to access these really rich or famous people.
I will say, River Oaks, each house has a lot of gates,
you know,
and brick walls.
Yeah,
and
they have a lot. I know Tony Busby got, like, an actual security guard on the clock in his yard.
Well, you can do that.
Yeah, but it's funny because I was at the Menares house at one time, and
excuse me,
no, it was one of the Christmas parties and stuff like that.
Oh, excuse me, it wasn't that big. I was just invited to their Christmas party.
I just kind of crashed a little bit. Okay. But I guess they have a bus there where they do a tour around the River Oaks and all that stuff, and they get on this loud ass speaker. And there's the owners of the Houston Texans house.
I would hate
that.
And
she was just rolling her eyes. She's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I would hate that. Yeah, if I'm Joe Burrow, I'm moving. I don't want anybody, if I'm of that status, I don't want anyone knowing where I live. You never know who out there will do something crazy. He also said after that robbery, it changed his mind. He didn't want to buy that Batmobile, if you remember that story.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah, he said he doesn't want to buy that anymore. Maybe similar reasons.
It do kind of make you think a little bit.
It does.
Because, like, I've been robbed before and all that stuff, and it make you go around, especially in cars and stuff like that. Like, I refuse to put any sound system or extra speakers and all that stuff in my car just because I don't want nobody to break in my car or all that stuff.
Yeah.
It kind of make you not want to be too flashy now.
For sure. I think I'd be that way. Like, if I was ever a millionaire, I think I would not be that. I don't want people to know I have money so that they don't come after me or try to rob my house. I'd have a nice home, but a modest home. You know, I wouldn't drive some extremely fancy car. You don't want to put that target on your back.
Yeah.
It's a problem I'll never have to worry about.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Drake May just got married. We talked about Deshaun Watson's marriage yesterday and those expensive wedding rings. The last story I wanted to get to here is Drake May just got married, and I thought it was a really cool story because him and his wife, they donated all of their wedding gifts to those affected by the flooding going on in North Carolina. Admittedly, I did not know this was a thing until this story, and then I saw a video on Twitter of the floods that looked really bad in North Carolina. So I thought that was a cool thing. Obviously, Drake May, you have that NFL contract. They donated, they're donating all their gifts or the money that they made off the wedding to those affected in North Carolina.
If it's the money, awesome. But I did kind of laugh when I saw this. Can you imagine some poor soul, you know, in North Carolina in a flooded house?
Got a toaster.
They get like an espresso machine. You know, like, what are they going to do with that? Like, here's our,
that's
our
fair.
Waffle maker. You know, what do we just sell it?
Yeah.
Just sell
I'm
it.
I'm sure it's probably gift cards and stuff like that.
Like that.
That's a fair point. I didn't think of that. I think it's true. It's a nice idea. It might not be, you know, the best execution, the best in practice. By the way, where are you guys on the wedding gifts? Because I always do money. And if I ever do get married, like, I just want money. What are your thoughts? Do you prefer to just give someone money when they get married, or do you get a gift off the registry?
Yeah, money. I will give them a gift, some type of gift card or something like that. My wife is more the like a craft type of person.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah.
She'd make something that say Mr., Mrs., whatever. Mm-hmm. It'd
all
be
right.
Like
so
some coasters or something.
I'm glad you asked this. I always go, not always, but most of the time I go off the registry.
Uh-huh.
And I get something that they can actually use and will use a lot and will... you know, we'll think of you that you thought about it enough to get this gift. I get like a tool bag filled with tools because that's one of the things, like when you get married, or a ladder. A ladder is a great wedding.
I need to
gift.
Get one as
I'm telling
we speak.
You, a ladder is a great or big step stool or something. You use that all the time.
Yeah, you don't realize how much you need it.
Nobody puts that stuff on their wedding registry.
Yeah, you don't never realize you need it until you need it.
That's a good one. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's true. The first time I moved out on my own into an apartment, I think my father got me a toolbox. It's like, you're going to need this, even though I was just in an apartment. It is a thoughtful gift. Certainly, the gifts off the registry are more thoughtful. I guess I'm just more lazy. I was like, okay, here's the money. I think one time I even just Venmo'd somebody. Here you go.
That's a mailing it in right there.
Yeah, happy wedding. Hey, what are the greatest moments in Texans history? And... should one be a top 25 moment of the last 25 years in the NFL? We'll talk about it next in the loop.